Open your Bibles again to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I have a message from the Lord. I hope you'll pay particular attention. I promise you that this message will answer your need. I don't care what it is. It'll answer your need this morning. Everybody wants to be happy, don't they? Everybody wants to feel some contentment in this life. But if you listen to me for a few minutes, I'll tell you where it's found. I was sitting here thinking, I've got a message from the Lord. An awesome burden of that. I want you to hear and believe. Friday evening, Jan and I went to Cottageville, West Virginia. They're having a conference for Darvin Pruitt speaking. He's talking about preaching. You men will preach. You'll understand. I appreciate this. He said his daughter was visiting with their granddaughter. It's time for the service. And his granddaughter's too little to sit out in the service yet. And his daughter was taking his granddaughter to the nursery. And to get to the nursery, apparently you have to pass right by the pulpit. And there Darvin sat, you know, before the service. Boy, no place for a service sitting there like there is there. Oh. And this little girl stops and looks up at him. She's just standing there looking at her papa. He looks down at her and he says, "What's the matter, honey?" She said, "Papa, are you going to say the word this morning?" He said, "Honey, I hope so. I hope God will enable me to say the word this morning. Enable you to believe it. It'll meet your need, I promise you." All right. The book of Ecclesiastes is written to show us the emptiness of this life. This physical life is worthless without Christ. The word Ecclesiastes means preacher. If you look back in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, this is how King Solomon identified himself. If I was king, I'd identify myself as king. That's not how Solomon identified himself. He says in verse 12, "I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem." Solomon identified himself first as the preacher. Now, other than the Lord Jesus, Solomon is the most wise man to ever live. He's a wise preacher. Well, he must be a pretty good one if he's that wise, isn't he? He's worth listening to. Worth listening to find out what Solomon has to say. And here is the wise preacher's message. Everything in this life, everything you hope to do, everything you hope to attain, everything in this life is vanity. It's worthless. So seek Christ. Throughout this book, Solomon frequently says, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." And that word vanity means something that's empty, something that will not satisfy. Solomon's telling us that there's nothing in this life that will satisfy you. So seek Christ. The message of Ecclesiastes, Solomon's wise conclusion, that's the title of the message this morning, Solomon's wise conclusion, is to seek Christ. Now in chapter 12 that we just read, Solomon says, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Well, before we hear the conclusion of the matter, let's look at the things that brought Solomon to this wise conclusion. When I was in business, every month we'd get a P&L, profit and loss statement. And the very first thing I'd do is turn to the back page. I want to see, do we make any money? I want to see, this is the conclusion of the month, you know. Then I'd go back and look at all the detail. Well, we've seen the conclusion. Now let's look and see what brought him to this conclusion. Solomon looked for something. He just like us. He looked for something that would give him some contentment and happiness in this world. And the first thing Solomon tried was education, was learning. Look in chapter 1, verse 13. He says, "I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I've seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit." Solomon gave himself to learning everything he could. He learned science and biology. He learned how the earth works. He learned math and engineering. He learned different languages and business and medicine. And Solomon could learn now. I mean, this man was so intelligent. And after he learned everything he could get his hands on, you know what he found out? He still wasn't contented. He said, all this learning is just vexation of spirit. He said, because the more you learn, the more you realize what you don't know. The more you learn, the more you realize, I'm just barely scratching the surface here. You know, you learn something about space. And what does it do? The only thing it does is make you ask more questions. I saw this where they sent this whatever spaceship out to some of these outer planets. And they were so excited. They said, well, just what we learned is we got a whole lot more questions. Well, Solomon says, that's vexation of spirit. It's vanity. You know, you learn something about medicine and how the body works. And all it does is give you more questions. But what is this, you know? The more you learn about this earth, the things of it, you know what you learn? There's so much I can't fix. I can't do anything about. That's what Solomon says in verse 15. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. He says, just vexation. He said, the more that you learn, the more you realize can go wrong. Look at verse 18. He says, for much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increases sorrow. Jim Meadows used to tell me all the time, ignorance is bliss. He said, because if you're ignorant of something, you don't know what can go wrong. You know, you're blissful. Well, yes and no. Look in chapter 2, verse 13. Solomon says, then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. I mean, it's kind of funny to say ignorance is bliss, but I'm telling you what, it's a whole lot better to be wise than be a fool. I mean, it's a whole lot better to be smart than be ignorant. That's just a fact. You know, you young people, you get an education. When Solomon says here, by all this learning is vexation of spirit, when you got to go to school in the morning, you're going to say, this is vexation of spirit. But now you go to school and get an education. You learn everything you can learn. So you got to get your job and contribute to society. And it's a whole lot better to be smart than be ignorant. But no matter how much you learn, Solomon, you and I can't learn a fraction of what Solomon learned. Well, that didn't bring him any contentment. It won't bring us any either. So you seek Christ, the wisdom of God. You find him and you'll be satisfied. Promise you, you will. Well, next, Solomon tried to find contentment, just living life as a joke. He tried to find contentment just dancing through life. Look in chapter 2, verse 1. I said in mine heart, go to now, and I'll prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. Behold, this is also is vanity. I said of laughter, it's mad. And of mirth, what doeth it? What good does it do? Now, you know, there is a time and a place for laughter. I enjoy laughter. You know, laughter, they say, is the best medicine. I don't know if it's the best medicine. If I have infection, I'd a whole lot rather have antibiotics, you know, than laughter. But laughter is good medicine. It's good for you. But now, you cannot make life a joke. You can't just joke about everything. You know, we have to deal with serious, serious issues. And it's harmful for us to treat these things as a joke. You know, death. Now, this is a serious matter. Don't treat it as a joke. Sin. It's not a joking matter. It's a serious matter. The gospel. Forgiveness of sin and the blood of Christ. These are serious issues. Enjoy humor. I mean, I love a good laugh. But don't ever joke about these spiritual serious issues. Don't ever joke about something that has to do with God. And making everything a joke. Now, that's not going to bring you satisfaction in this life. So seek Christ. You find him, wisdom in him, you'll have joy untold. Well, next, Solomon tried to find satisfaction in good food and fellowship. Verse 3 of chapter 2. He said, I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. Solomon says, when he talks about here about wine, he doesn't mean being drunken, because he's saying I'm having wine with wisdom. He means banquets. He means having having good food and good drink and having lots of friends over and fellowship, you know, around the table, having a good time. And certainly that's good for us. You know, we ought to do more of it. Invite each other over for a meal, you know, and sit around and eat and have fellowship. It's good for us. But, you know, Solomon found out there's no real lasting satisfaction in that. So you seek Christ. Your soul will be satisfied if you have fellowship with Him, because it's eternal. I don't care what it is you're feeding your body. You'll be satisfied if you have fellowship with Christ. You seek Christ, the bread of life. That's the bread that will satisfy. It gives eternal life. Well, next, Solomon tried to find satisfaction in fixing up his house. You know, he wanted to have lots of curb appeal. Look at verse 4 of chapter 2. He said, I made me great works. I built me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchard. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water there with the wood that bringeth forth trees. Solomon had the biggest, nicest, best farm anybody ever saw. I mean, he built irrigation systems to bring water down from the mountains and to water all every different kind of fruit tree and herb and plant and spices. Brady, you should have seen the produce he brought to the farmer's market. I mean, wow. I'm just, oh my goodness. I mean, and his house, his yard was the envy of the whole neighborhood. HGTV wanted to go and film it all the time. Just, oh, it was wonderful. Now, that's not just pure vanity. I mean, you ought to keep your house up. Don't let it fall around, you know, down around you. But don't think having the nicest house and the nicest yard in the neighborhood is going to satisfy it, because it won't. It didn't satisfy Solomon. And Solomon, he went so far as to turn this curb appeal in his house and his farm into a big business. He made a lot of money from it. Look at verse 7. He says, I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasures of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great, increased more than all they that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. Whatever I wanted, I just did. He was able to do that. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works of my hands that my hands had wrought, and all the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. There was no profit under the sun. Solomon got so rich, more rich than any other king. He had the resources to do whatever he wanted to do. There was nothing he couldn't imagine he couldn't do. And Solomon, now that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? And Solomon says, you know what? It's all vanity. It was all vanity. His soul could not be satisfied with having the nicest house or the biggest business or the most money. And it won't satisfy any of us either. It will not give you contentment in this life. So you seek Christ. You seek Him. If you find Christ, you'll have all the riches of God's mercy and His grace and His love, and you'll be satisfied. Well, next, Solomon said he tried to find satisfaction in being a crotchety old man. You know, just I'm practicing to be a crotchety old man. You know, like those two fellas in the Muppets, you know, sitting up there making fun of everybody. I'm practicing to be a crotchety old man. Just hating everything. So that's what Solomon tried. He tried to find satisfaction in going around telling everybody what you're doing is vanity, you know, and how awful everything is all the time. Just, you know, it wasn't that way in my day, you know. Not only was he serious, he can be sad about everything. You can bet nobody wants to see Solomon coming while he was trying this, right? Look at verse 20 of chapter 2. He says, therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity, yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and great evil. Solomon said, who knows all this I'm going to leave? Who knows if this fellow's going to be wise or he's going to be a fool? You know, he said, this is vanity. Well, Solomon found out there's no satisfaction in acting that way either. You know, just like, I'm glad I'm not one of those Puritans. I mean, I don't know, did those fellows ever have any fun? Did they ever enjoy anything? I don't know. But I'll tell you what, now, there are sad things in this life. Don't, just like trying to dance through life, you know, make a joke of everything. Don't gloss over these. There are sad things in this life we've got to deal with. And there's some serious things. There are. But now don't dwell on them exclusively either. You find some happiness. You find something to be happy about. Seek a good balance. And you seek Christ. Now just seek Him with all your heart. If you find Him, you'll find satisfaction. Yeah, there are works or vanity, but His isn't. You seek Him, have His work, have His person, and you'll have joy. You see, the problem so far, Solomon, where has he sought satisfaction? He sought it in the things of this world. And he found out it's all vanity. So this is what Solomon's learned about the world. Let me tell you this in short. This is what he learned. Enjoy these things while they last. That's the only conclusion you can draw. Look in chapter 2, verse 24. He says, there's nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. In chapter 3, verse 13, he says it again. He says, and also, that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all of his labor. It's the gift of God. Now you tie that to what we read earlier in chapter 3, and this is what the Spirit's teaching us through Solomon. Now you go enjoy the works of your hands. You're building your life. You're building your family. You're building your house. And enjoy those things. Knowing that they're a gift of God. God gave them to you. You know, what do you have God didn't give you? Enjoy using what God gives you while it lasts. Because there's coming a time for that to stop too. Enjoy being able to go out and work. Enjoy being able to go out and do a good job for your employer. And you're contributing and enjoy that. Because you won't be able to do it for long, you know. Enjoy the life that God gave you. God's given you a life. There's nothing wrong with enjoying it. Enjoy your family and your children and the things that you do in your life. Enjoy that. But now, enjoy it while it lasts, because soon you're going to die. So enjoy it now, you know. Enjoy spending time with your family and your loved ones, because they won't be here forever, and you won't either. Enjoy times where you can have laughter and jokes and you just laugh with one another. But enjoy it, because there'll come a time of sorrow too. Be prepared to cry with each other too, you know, when it's time. Well, here's how we're to handle the things of this world. Use them. Don't let them use you. Use them and enjoy them, but don't let them control you. Know that all that stuff's going to end one day. Well, okay, we start out, though, talking about lasting, eternal satisfaction. What about this contentment for my soul? Did Solomon ever get to that? Did he ever find it? Yeah, he did. He did. His wise conclusion is you seek Christ. The true wisdom of Solomon is to seek satisfaction in Christ, the wisdom of God. That's his wise conclusion. Now, chapter 12. Now we start to look here where Solomon started to draw the conclusion of the whole matter. Last Sunday, I preached a message largely to our young people. Solomon's talking to you again. So listen to what he says here. He says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Here Solomon's speaking to young people. He's a wise preacher. So now listen to what he's going to say. And us who are older, we need to listen too, don't we? Because we've got the same nature. We've got the same need. No matter how old you are, you ought to be remembering your Creator, shouldn't you? And when Solomon says, remember your Creator, what he's saying is be mindful. Just be mindful of God. In everything you do, recognize God. Recognize that He is. As you go about your daily activities, remember, it's God that's your Creator. He's the one who gave you life. So live it for Him. Live it for His glory, for following Him and following His way. And those of you who know the Lord, you remember God's your Creator. He created in you a new heart. He gave you a new spirit. Now, you live for Him and live for His glory. Remember Him. And when we're mindful of God, you know what we'll be mindful of? We're mindful that we're sinners. We need God to forgive us. We've sinned against God. We need Him to do something for us we can't do. We need Him to forgive our sin, make us righteous in Christ. So seek Him. That's being mindful of God. Now, all men should seek the Lord. I don't care how old you are. Whatever age you are, you ought to be seeking the Lord. Janet told me a story yesterday about a woman who had absolutely no use for the gospel. All of her life, she got up pretty old, wasn't she? And Lord saved her. No matter what age you are, you ought to be seeking the Lord. But Solomon says, God's Word says, it's particularly good for a young person to seek the Lord. I tell you why. The first fruits of the harvest, who they belong to? They always belong to God, didn't they? Well, the best days of our life are the days of our youth. That's when we're the strongest, when we're the brightest. You know, you children, you teenagers, you're strong right now, aren't you? But I got something to tell you about that. These are not the best days of your life. You wait till you get a little older. I was talking to a young man at Cottageville on Friday. I was talking to him. I saw his wife and daughter coming up. And he got a beautiful family. And the little girl, she's real little. And I told him, I said, these are the best days of your life. When you're building your family, you got your children home, you're raising them, you're teaching them. Sean, these are the best days of your life. Oh, go after it with the strength that the Lord's given you now. You're so strong, but you won't be for long. That strength and energy is going to be gone before long, you know. God gave you this time right now. Would it be ungrateful not to use it to worship and serve Him? Would that be ungrateful? So don't delay to seek the Lord. However old you are, don't delay to seek the Lord, because these youthful days are going to be gone. And then you're going to have evil days. Solomon calls old age evil days, because your mind and your body will be weakened. You won't be able to enjoy the things that you enjoy now, because you're in pain, you know, as you're suffering all the afflictions of old age. You won't be able to enjoy thinking on the things of the Lord. Thinking on all these things, you can't remember them. Your mind's gone. You won't be able to enjoy to learn new things, because old age has come. You just can't do it. So you better learn them now. When the evil days of old age come, you won't be able to understand the mysteries of spiritual things. Now, your mind can grasp them now. You may not believe them, but your mind can understand what we're saying. Well, you won't be able to understand later on when your mind's gone. So seek the Lord, Solomon said, verse 2, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened. The sun, the light, the moon, the stars are the glory of the heavens, aren't they? Well, that's our mind. Solomon says, your mind is the glory of your body. Well, seek the Lord for the glory of your mind fades and you can't understand anything. Now, I know salvation is a hard work. Salvation is a giving of a new heart. But now it comes through the head. It comes through the head. And you can understand what I'm saying. Well, there's going to come a day your mind won't be as strong. You won't be able to understand what I'm saying. So seek the Lord now. At the end of verse 2, Solomon says, nor the clouds return after the rain. What Solomon's telling us is, seek the Lord when you got some good sunny days. Sunny days that are not filled with trouble and pain and trial. You know, when you're young, you got some cloudy days. But those clouds blow away. You got a pretty good length of time with some blue sky, you know, nice sunny days before the clouds start rolling in again. You got some sunny days that aren't filled with trouble and pain and sorrow. But when you're old, those storm clouds of trouble and trial and heartache, they come one right after the other with no blue sky in between. It's like when you're young, you get sick for a little while, but then you get better and you're not sick again for a long time. When you're older, you get sick, and as soon as you get over it, you got something else sick, you know, wrong with you. So seek the Lord now. Verse 3, Solomon says, in the day when the keepers of the house are trembled. The keepers of the house are the hands that take care of, you know, the body. Well, before your hands start to tremble and you can't hardly dress yourself to come to the service. Your hands aren't able to turn in the scriptures and read God's word. Well, seek the Lord now while you can. He goes on there in verse 2 or verse 3, and he says, and the strong men shall bow themselves. That's the legs. They're so strong. Seek the Lord now. Because there's coming a day, those legs will be so weak and bowed, you won't be able to come. You won't be able to get out of the house, you know. Well, seek the Lord now. He says, seek the Lord there in verse 3. And the grinders cease because they're few. That's the teeth. Before you lose all your teeth, you know, and you can't eat. Seek the Lord now. You know, if you can't eat right, your body's just going to quit working even faster than ever. And when your body can't digest food anymore, even, you know, what you eat, if it can't digest it, you're not getting the nutrients out of it like you did when you were young. In verse 4 there, when he says, when the sound of the grinding is low, that's your digestive system. When it starts slowing down and not working right, your body's going to start falling apart even faster. You can't get any nutrients. Well, seek the Lord now while you have those capacities. At the end there of verse 3, he says, and those that look out the windows be darkened. That's the eyes. The eyes are the windows of the soul. You know, before your eyes fail, you're not able to read the Bible. You're not able to see, and you seek the Lord now while you can. In verse 4, he says, and the doors be shut in the streets. The doors there are the lips. You know, but when your mouth, you just stay, keep your mouth shut because you don't feel like talking. Maybe there's nobody to talk to. Maybe you forget how to talk. Or maybe, you know, what you say doesn't make any sense anymore because you lost your mind. Well, seek the Lord now. And he goes on there, he says in verse 3, or verse 4, the doors be shut in the street when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and the daughters of music shall be brought low. That the daughters of the music being brought low, that still has to do with the mouth. The ability to talk and to sing. You know, when you get old, you can't do that anymore. Your lungs don't work as well. Your voice box doesn't work as well. Sing unto the Lord when you got any strength and ability. And seek the Lord before you have to rise up to the sound of the bird. You know, old people, they go to bed early and they get up early. Because they can't stay awake. You know, they can't stay awake and they can't sleep either one. You know, seek the Lord while you're lucid enough to seek the Lord. There comes a time maybe you won't even be able to stay awake long enough, you know, to hear a message. Who knows? And then verse 5, seek the Lord before you get afraid of everything. When they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way. Like right now, you children, you just climb right up a ladder, climb up on a chair or something to reach something. Lila likes to climb trees. You like to climb trees. You're not afraid at all, are you? I mean, you're not afraid at all to climb way up there. Just, you don't even think about it, do you? Enjoy that. Enjoy it. It won't last. There coming a day, you step up on that step right there, you'll be afraid. That seems weird. You can't imagine that, can you? You're an old woman, it's going to happen. And you'll be grabbing this thing here, and you'll be afraid of that. And you smile at yourself. Frank told me that happened. Get afraid. Seek the Lord now. Seek Him. There coming a day you might be afraid to leave the house. You've taken a stand for the gospel in this town. You're not afraid. You're not afraid to do it. There coming a day, I've seen it happen, you'll be afraid to take a stand again. You won't do it. Seek the Lord now. Seek Him before you get afraid. Then he says here in verse 5, he says, the almond tree shall flourish and the grasshopper shall be a burden. The way he's talking about there is you get old, you get gray-headed, and the lightest thing, just something as light as a grasshopper, will be too much of a burden to carry. You know, when you're young, you can just do whatever you need to do, don't you? You're building your life, you're just, everything that takes, you've got the strength and energy to do it. But boy, when you get old, you can't do that anymore. I remember Jan and I raising our kids. I just did everything, you know, needed to be done. Boy, we try to keep up with our niece and nephew now. Oh, my. did we ever get, how did we do that before? It's gone already. It's gone already. And I tell you, that's true mentally, too. That's true mentally. The grasshopper becomes a burden. When you're young, you can handle all the burdens of this life. You got 7 or 8 things to worry about all at once, and you know you can worry about them, think about them, still do everything you got to do. Or when you get old, you get one worry, and just sink you. Just sink you. Brother Henry told me, he said, when he was going to retire, he said, you got two daughters. He said, everything happens to them, happens to you, doesn't it? He said, you worry about it so much, everything happens to them. He said, I got that times 300. He said, when I was young, he said, I could handle that. Things were wrong, you know, with all the different people, and I could pray for them, worry about them, and manage, you know. He said, I can't anymore. I can't emotionally handle it anymore. The grasshoppers become a burden. And Solomon says, seek the Lord before desire fails. He says here in verse 5, and desire shall fail. As you get older, desire for just everything decreases as we age. You think right now, you've got plenty of time to seek the Lord. Well, do it now. Do it now. Today's the day of salvation. That desire may not last. As a matter of fact, it won't last. It won't last. There coming a day that getting out to go to service or even going across the room, get your Bible. Just be too much of a burden, too much of a desire, just not the effort, just not worth it to put that effort in. So seek the Lord now while that desire's there. Seek the Lord while you got any life left in you at all. I don't care how old you are. If you got any life left in you, you seek the Lord. Verse 5. At the end of verse 5, he says, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Wherever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. You see, seek the Lord now, because soon this life's going to be over. We're going to die, and the mourners are going to go about in the streets after our funeral. You know, this life, it's going to happen quickly now. It's going to happen quickly. We're hanging on to this physical life by a thread. That's the silver cord Solomon talks about there. It's just a thread. It's the mysterious bond between body and soul. It's just a thread that ties the spirit to this flesh. And that thread won't last long. I used to work with a lady and said, how you doing? She said, well, we're hanging on by a thread and the rats are chewing on it. Well, we're hanging on by a thread and sin's chewing on it. His thread's going to be broke soon. Seek the Lord now. That cord's going to be broken. And then we'll die. It'll be too late to seek the Lord. And we'll die like we lived. So seek the Lord now. The golden bowl that's broken. That's the brain when it stops functioning. We're going to die. It's so fragile. And it'll be broken soon. The pitcher when it's broken at the fountain. That's the heart. It stops pumping blood. You're going to die quick, you know, when that happens. And then what's going to happen? We're going to return to dust. That's all we are. And at that time, it won't matter how much stuff you had, how much stuff you accumulated. You're just going to leave it to somebody else. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to call Rumpke or whoever, bring a dumpster, and they're going to throw most of it away. It just doesn't matter. And we're finally going to know that all that mattered was Christ. So seek Him now. Call on Him now. Now, Solomon knew all this life was vanity. It makes you want to throw up your hands and quit, doesn't it? You know, nothing here can satisfy us. Nothing here can give us any contentment. Well, don't throw up your hands now. Solomon, the wise preacher, didn't just throw up his hands and quit. That drove Solomon, the preacher, to preach Christ all the more. You wonder why I'm so intense. I'm so intent on preaching the gospel, having a time of worship, and having you hear and believe. Because nothing here is worth it. But He is. And that's what Solomon said. He said, that's why I preach Christ, verse 8. He said, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher. All is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise. He understood this life is vanity. He understood why to seek Christ. So he didn't throw up his hands and quit. He still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. Solomon the preacher knew this life is vanity. This life is a life of sin and death and decay. And that drove him all the more to preach Christ. And the wise man sought to find out good words, acceptable words, simple, clear words that the common person could understand that would point them to Christ. Now, if you would seek Christ, I've told you how many times just in the past few minutes, seek Christ. Well, if you'd seek Him, I'll tell you what to do. You find some man's preaching the gospel, that's preaching Christ, and you listen to him. And pray that God will give you faith to believe that you go listen to the gospel of Christ. That's what will lead you to Christ, what will lead you to eternal life. Look here at verse 11. The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. Now a goad, that's a sharp stick that they would use to keep an oxen going in the right direction. I would imagine if an oxen wanted to go somewhere, it's hard stopping. You know, who's going to stop him? Well, they use these goads, you know, to kind of poke him in the side, keep him going in the right direction. Well, that goad is the Word of God. It's sharp. It pierces the heart and it gives life. It's sharp. It helps direct us, keeps the child of God from going off on a tangent, going where we ought not go. Using that goad to keep us on the path, keep us looking to Christ. And then Solomon describes the Word of God, the gospel, as a nail that fastens you to Christ so you can't fall off. Lest you, brethren, use some nails to fasten this thing down. Fasten us to Christ. I'll give you a few nails. God's sovereign. Now let's nail that down so that we'll beg the sovereign for mercy. Let's nail that down. Man is ruined in sin. Just incapable of doing anything but sin. Let's nail that down. So we'll ask God to forgive our sin. Christ is the Savior of sinners. Now let's nail that down. So sinners will look to Him for salvation. We're ruined by the fall. We're redeemed by the blood. We're regenerated by the Spirit. Salvation is of the Lord. Now let's nail that down so men will seek Christ and seek salvation in Him. Now verse 12. And further by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there's no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. Now I spend a lot of time reading commentaries and things. And they can make you weary pretty fast. You know, some of these fellows, wow. And it's... But I'm a big fan of commentaries. It's a good idea to get you a good commentary. You get you Henry Mahan's commentaries. Matthew Henry, John Gill, Robert Hawker. You get you some of these commentaries. They're good. They'll help give you some insight on some things. But you remember, this is the book. Now, this is the book. This book won't make you weary. It's good to know what these great men of faith had to say in their commentaries. But don't make what they said foundation of your faith. Find out what God says, and you believe that. That'll give you life. That won't make you weary. That'll give you life and joy and peace. Now, verse 13, here's where we began. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now the conclusion of the whole matter is you seek to be found in Christ. Seek to be found in His righteousness. Seek to be found in His obedience. Seek to be found washed in His blood. When Solomon says obey His commandments here, he's not mean going out and get you a copy of the law and obey the law. But what's God's commandment to His people? Repent. And believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You obey His commandment to believe Christ. Seek salvation through faith in Him. Because, now here's a serious matter. All men are going to be judged. If we're judged in our works, we're going to be found to be evil. Because that's all our works are evil. And we'll suffer eternal condemnation. But if we're judged in Christ, if we're found to be in Christ, then our works are going to be found to be good. Because Christ is good. And His work is good and perfect. He did obey God's law. And we'll be, if we're found in Him, we'll be completely satisfied for all of eternity. And we'll spend all of eternity worshiping Him. So here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord because He commanded us to seek Him. Seek the Lord because He delights to show mercy to sinners, and we're sinners. Seek the Lord because He forgives sin. Only He can. And we're sinners who need forgiving, aren't we? Seek the Lord because He is righteousness, and we need righteousness that we can't produce. We have any of our own, but seek Him. He's our righteousness. And if you find the Lord, you won't have any vanity. Then your soul will be satisfied. You have complete contentment if you find Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word. How thankful we are that You have given Your Word to us, that You've given us some understanding of what Your Word says, how it points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are thankful, Father, for all the provisions of this life that You've given to us, and how we pray for the wisdom to use these things and enjoy them while we have them and not let them control us, but to seek our contentment, our joy, our satisfaction, our all in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray You'd bless Your Word as it's been preached. Bless it to the glory of Your Son. And I pray that You'd apply Your Word to each heart that's here this morning, that You use Your Word to reach the heart of Your people and call them to faith in Christ, that You use this Word to strengthen the heart of Your people, that You draw us ever closer to our Lord Jesus Christ, to rest more fully in Him and enjoy the contentment and satisfaction that we have in Christ even more fully. It's in His blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.